for tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from Sex and Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Annual Ladies Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, February the 16th, 2018. Carla Butaud is the speaker of the evening, teaching on Slaying the Dragon.
Hello, ladies.
Hello.
We're so glad to have you here.
Amen.
We're going to have a good time.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been coming here 14 years now. 14 years. That's amazing. I can't believe it. It seems like just yesterday. So, God showed me one time why this is such a special place for prayer to take place at 6 o'clock in the morning, because hi, Debbie.
Deborah.
All the prayers that have been prayed here over the course of the existence of this campground are still here. The anointing of those prayers is still here. So it really helps all of us who are praying for you for that anointing to be operating. Okay, so tonight I want to read some scriptures because it's a ground, making some groundwork for what we're going to do tonight. And hopefully that is going to expedite, is that a word? Expedite the rest of the deliverance during camp. Because there are some things that will block deliverances, and we want to deal with a lot of those tonight. I'm sure I won't hit every single one of them, but I want to read some interesting scriptures. First, out of Job chapter 1 says in verse 6, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, From where comest thou?" Or in other words, where'd you come from? Isn't that how we all feel when he shows up? Where'd you come from? "Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." See, Satan was cast out of heaven, right? So his domain is on the earth now. And that's what he said, walking to and fro and up and down in it. And then in chapter 2 of Job, it says, "Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord." Boy, that's arrogant, isn't it? And again in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Satan, From where comest thou?" Where'd you come from? Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it." Now, I read this to you so that you would understand also that when Satan was cast out of heaven, he was cast into the earth. So he shows up on the earth, which is a pretty big dirt ball. He could have gone anywhere he wanted to go. But where did he show up? But in the garden where God was doing the work. That's where he wants to be. He's going to make it his business to be wherever it is that God is doing the work. So you know what that means? Of course, we've been praying ahead of time. But right now, in the name of Jesus Christ, Satan, we bind you. Now, don't be afraid. Some people get afraid when you start addressing Satan, you know. But no, Jesus has given us power over all the power of the enemy, all. So we don't have to be afraid of him. In fact, that's his biggest tool. If he can make you afraid of him, he's already won the battle. So right now, Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy. And we exercise that power right now. And Satan, we bind you, rebuke you, and render you powerless from this meeting. Get out. You're not welcome here. You will not come present yourself here among the daughters of God. We command you to go. I bind every spirit from the kingdom of darkness right now. I break your power and I command you to get out of here in Jesus' name. And I bind the workings of every familiar spirit. Now let me tell you what I mean by that. I'll give you a little illustration. My mother, when my dad died, she remarried, and the man was a veterinarian. And she would assist him in surgeries on animals. If the animal died, my mother told me this, and I was learning about this, and I thought, isn't that interesting? When an animal dies, every flea and every tick vacates the animal immediately. You know why? Because the life is in the blood. And demons want to live in a body that is alive and has blood flowing. Okay? We'll talk a little bit more about where they are in a minute. But those spirits of ancestors who have died, their spirits want to stay in the same family. They want to stay where it's familiar. They're familiar with the people, their sins, their weaknesses, and they like to stay in the family. So where spirits can work in you, there are spirits also around you in the atmosphere. Like if let's just say if I was an angry, which I used to be. So if you have an anger problem, be encouraged. You can get rid of that. It's a spirit. Anger is an evil spirit. It's not part of your personality. Okay, so if I was an angry person, if I liked to gamble, if I liked to run around with men, there are spirits around you of gambling and running around. And then another person will have the same spirits, and they're drawn together. Familiar spirits, they like to come together. It's amazing to me how many couples that come together, that familiar spirits have drawn together. Like a man who was abused when he was a child, amazingly finds a woman who was abused as a child. And they have many spirits that are alike, and they don't even know it, but the spirits are going, hey, hey. And those familiar spirits are just pushing them together. And they think it's fate. You know, we have so much in common. This has got to be God, you know. So it can make you look at things differently when you begin to learn how these spirits work. So I give leave right now to every familiar spirit that came in here with you. I forbid them to operate and have a party with others in the room. In Jesus' name, I bind them up. Okay? Okay, so everywhere God is doing the work, Satan wants to be there. So we just put him out of here so he can't cause problems. Okay, now we're going to look. Okay, the title of this.
Thank you.
The title, we're calling this Slaying the Dragon. Slaying the Dragon. In Revelation, Satan is referred to as a dragon, that old serpent. Satan, the devil. God makes that very clear. I love the way he just lays it out. That old serpent, the devil, Satan. You know, your adversary, the devil. He wants you to know who it is. We know who it is. Okay, so tonight we're going to slay the dragon. We're going to cut the head off the dragon. Okay, so let's see. This will be basically dealing with generational curses. So if any of y'all are tired and you want to fall asleep, go ahead, because I'm not going to be talking to you anyway. I'm going to be talking to spirits. Sometimes people fall asleep and they say, oh, forgive me. I said, no problem. Just bypass the intellect and go straight for the spirit. Because sometimes folks will throw up roadblocks. Okay. A curse is a doorway. It's a doorway that allows other spirits in. So that's why we want to deal with these curses. If you take care of the curse, then when we cast the spirits out, they can go. And also, the strong man. In Matthew 12, 28 and 29, it says, but if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God is come unto you. Or else, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods, except he first bind the strong man, and then he will spoil his house. So each one of us has a strong man. He's the boss. So we want to deal with the strong man so that all of the rest of the meetings that you are here, and even tonight when I do deliverance after this message, the strong man will have been bound and dealt with, and then we can just call those spirits out. Sometimes the curse will keep spirits from being cast out. So we're going to deal with generational curses. There are those who don't even believe in such a thing as generational curses. My brother has a friend that does not believe in generational curses. So I'm trying to teach my brother this stuff, and then he comes back and says, oh, no, there's no generational curses. That was dealt with at the cross. Yeah. Well, theoretically, it was. But we have to appropriate what Jesus did in order for those curses to be broken. After all, the Bible says that Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. But the whole world is not going to be saved. Only those who will receive what Jesus Christ did for them and appropriate that salvation to their life, that's when it happens. I look at it like having a fire extinguisher in your house. And you're cooking and a little grease splashes over and you have a fire, a little fire. And somebody will say, oh, you got fire. Well, it's okay. I got a fire extinguisher in the house. So the fire gets bigger and starts burning up the back of the wall. Hey, oh, it's okay, I got a fire extinguisher. Well, let me tell you, if you don't pick that fire extinguisher up and use it, that fire will burn your house down. Kind of like having termites. You may not know they're there, but they're tearing your house down. And as long as you don't know they're there, you can't do anything about them. We need to know about them so we can get rid of them.
Amen.
Okay. And then, okay, about the strong man. People say, well, who is the strong man? Well, he's the strong man. You know, I got to keep it simple. And one time I was praying for this woman, and, well, I really wasn't praying. She wanted me to come and teach her and a friend, and so I was just teaching, sharing scripture. All of a sudden she starts manifesting, and then it went from manifesting just you know, and spitting in some toilet paper. She came flying out of that chair, scared me, startled me, you know, didn't scare me, but whoop. And the other lady that was there, she jumped up and picked up her Bible and ran to the farthest corner in the room, and it's reading scripture. Well, I am binding, I am doing everything I know to do, and nothing is working. And this woman is violent. And so I heard in my spirit, thank you, Jesus, for your help. Bind the strong man. So boy, I was quick to do it. I bind the strong man right now in Jesus' name. And immediately, deflated. Who is the strong man? He's the strong man. You don't have to know his name. It says, how can one enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first find the strong man? Okay? So we're going to find the strong man tonight so he can't get in the way. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind the strong man over this camp that has been assigned by Satan, the strong man. We bind you and break your power. I bind the strong man over every person in this room, myself included, in Jesus' name. We bind that strong man. The house is your body. In 2 Corinthians, our bodies are referred to, in the scripture it says, what, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Your body is your temple. Now, in the Old Testament, the tabernacle consisted of three parts. There was an outer court, an inner court, and the Holy of Holies. Our body, we are body, soul, and spirit. Three parts, just like the temple. Our body is a temple. Once you are saved and you are sealed with the Holy Ghost, you can never be possessed by an evil spirit. But they will operate in your bodies. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever been sick? Where did the sickness take place? In your body. Okay? Matthew 21. I'm going to look at that. Matthew 21. I'm laying groundwork here. Because people are going to challenge you. And you need to know how to respond to them. But this is also for our knowledge. For the deliverance that's going to take place tonight. Okay, so we are looking at Matthew 21, 12 through 14. It says this, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple, and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves, and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but you have made it a den of thieves. And the blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. In other places in the Bible, it talks about this. He makes cords. You know, he makes a whip. And he goes in there, and he whips them, and he turns the tables over, runs them all out. You know why? And where were they in the temple? They were not in the Holy of Holies. They were not in the inner court. They were in the outer court of the temple. And that is where demons will have influence in our bodies. But when he drove them out, then the people could come in and be healed. That's what it says. Sometimes we will have an evil spirit in our body. Demons, devils, call them what you want to. I call them demons because they are. They are evil entities. And so whenever they come into our bodies, they can't get in our spirit. But many people will say, a Christian cannot have a demon. The Holy Ghost and the devil will not cohabitate. Well, you're right. But our spirits are the only things that are sealed. The Holy of Holies. Our Holy of Holies is sealed. But our soul and our flesh, our bodies, can have demons. And those are the ones that give us problems. You know, when I teach, I'm always teaching about this stuff. People say, don't you ever talk about anything good? All you ever talk about is demons and curses. And I said, we have blessings too. We have generational blessings. I said, yeah, I know, but are those giving you problems? No, we want to deal with what's giving you problems. And let's face it, the people who find this place are not coming here because they're overflowing in blessings and no trouble. They're coming here because they are desperate. They've tried everything else. It ain't working. You know? So, I believe that in the last move of God, that this ministry of casting out demons is going to have to make its way into the body of Christ.
Amen.
Because if he's coming for a church that's without spot or wrinkles, and I'm not talking about facelift either here. I'm talking about flaws in our person. It must come. Okay? Also, I'm going to read to you out of John 11. Aren't you glad I bent my pages, dog-eared my pages so I could go right to it and not have to hunt for it? Verses 43. Okay, this is a very familiar story. This is when Lazarus was raised from the dead. So in verse 43, it says, "And when he had, Jesus, when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, 'Lazarus, come forth.' And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a cloth. Jesus saith unto them, 'Loose him and let him go.'" See, when we were, before we were saved, we were like Lazarus, dead spiritually. Then when we got saved, we come out of that dead place, but we are bound with grave clothes. Those that came from our ancestors. You know, when you look at yourself in the mirror, you see the color of your hair, the color of your eyes, your body shape. All these things were preset by the people who were before you. Well, guess what? They had flaws. And we inherit some of those too. If you had a lying daddy, there's bound to be a lying kid. If you had a thieving daddy or an adulterer or mother, those things are passed down right along with your hair color and your eye color. We just have never been taught. You know, we think it's our personality. Oh, my goodness. I am so thankful for the ministry of deliverance because, I mean, the devil had me hating myself. Because I hated a lot of things that I had no control over.
Right.
And they were demons. When those things started getting broken and cast out. In fact, when I talk about the Jezebel spirit, and I was a good one. I take no pride in that. I was a big one. A big one. And when I teach on it and talk about how she behaves and everything, there's always one or two that come up to me and say, "I just can't believe you ever acted that way." So, well, you need to talk to my husband and children. They will tell you very quickly. Oh, my goodness. So, I'm thankful for the ministry of deliverance. The other thing I love about it is, I'm sure we all have people in our lives that we find hard to forgive. But when you learn that it's not them, but an evil spirit, you can separate the person from the evil spirit. Let the person deal with the demon. You know, especially at holidays, you know, we holidays have a lot of stress around them because you're thrown with a lot of people that have wounded you in the past, maybe wounding you in the present. Might be mad at you and all kinds of things, won't speak to you any other time of the year, and then to come together at Thanksgiving and expect everybody to be cordial. It's stressful. That's what those are. Demons. Because the devil does not want you to get along with your family. He hates family. You know why? Because he can't have one. Can't. He hates family. Because the church is made up of families. If he can destroy the family, he can destroy the church. And he's working really hard at doing that in every way that he can. Here's the interesting thing. You know, the word is alive. I love the word because every time I read it, something else comes alive for me. In those scriptures about the grave clothes, I found it interesting that Jesus was the one that raised him from the dead, but loosened him from the grave clothes he gave to everybody else. He said to all the others, loose him and let him go. That's what we should be doing for each other.
Loosing. You know, when we see somebody struggling with something, I knew a young lady. She was the mother of two children, a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old. And she couldn't sleep at night after her daughter was born. She would get up several times a night to go check on this daughter because she was so afraid that something was going to happen to that child. And I could see the torment when she started telling me about that. And I said, "Can I pray for you before I go?" "Sure." So I bound that spirit of fear. See, fear is a spirit. We have not been given the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. She didn't have a sound mind. She was tormented all night long. And so when I began to pray for her, she started to cry. And when I left, she called me several days later and said, "I have slept every night since you prayed for me." See, that's what deliverance will do for you. And it's not rocket science. You don't have to be a scholar, have a doctor's degree, and all of that stuff to cast out a demon. It's the name of Jesus that does it anyway. Jesus said, "In my name you will cast out devils." In my name. You know, when that woman manifested, I was by myself. And if she had asked me, she asked me when I got there, "Hey, would you want to, like, pray for us, pray for some deliverance while you're here, if you think it's needed?" And I said, "No. That's not what you invited me here for. You wanted to learn about spiritual warfare and authority. And if I had known you wanted to have some deliverance, I would have brought somebody with me. Because I'm by myself." And she said, "Oh, you want it by yourself? We're here." I was like, that's not quite what I meant. But anyway, guess what? The devil didn't care. He manifested anyway. And what I found out that day, I don't advise it. Jesus sent them out two by two. But if it's ever in your face, let me tell you, you and Jesus are enough. Don't make a practice of it. But if he shows up, by golly, in the name of Jesus, that's what you do. You don't read scriptures to the devil. Jesus said, "In my name." You know, people who don't believe in demons can't deny it when one shows up. In fact, when I left that place, I said, "Lord, thank you for not telling me what was going to happen when I was here, because I would have never left the house." He said, "Didn't they want you to teach them about spiritual warfare and authority?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, they got a crash course." And that was true. I have a Baptist aunt that doesn't believe in fact, she thinks I'm mixed up in a cult. Like Hamilton, because, you know, we do devil stuff. But she was very ill in the intensive care, and someone in the room next door to her died, and she said, "A demon walked in my room." And I thought, how interesting. I said, "It was probably the spirit of death." I said, "What did you do?" She said, "I closed my eyes and started quoting scriptures. And I opened my eyes and he was still there." Next time, just say, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here." Hey, if you're ever confronted, "In the name of Jesus, get out." That's what you do with it. Don't sing to it. Tell it to get out in the name of Jesus. You know, Dr. Null, that used to be here, I love this story. I tell it all the time. When he was learning about binding, God was teaching him about binding. He said one night, all the lights were out, he was in his bed, and he noticed a pair of eyes looking at him from the bedroom. You know, You can see in the dark, but when they manifest, you'll see them sometimes. But he saw something looking at him through the door, two red eyes, and all of a sudden this tarantula, one leg at a time, started coming in and was over him. It filled up the whole room to the supernatural tarantula. And so Dr. Nelson, being the strong spiritual man that I am, I put my head under the covers. And while he was under the covers, the Lord said, "You know, you can bind that thing." And he said, "I can." So he brings the covers down this much. And he says, "I bind you in the name of Jesus." And he said, these huge angels came with chains and wrapped up that tarantula and gone. See, ask God to teach you. He'll teach you. He taught me in dreams. Crocodile dream. That was a bad crocodile. But when the terror came into me, at the same time, it was like a force came into me and my arm flew out and I said, "I bind you in Jesus' name." And it rolled over dead in the water. Listen, there is power in that. Power in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And he won't let you down. Okay, let's see. Oh, okay. Luke 22, 35 and 36. Luke 22, 35 and 36. Is that right? No. Well, wait. Yeah, Luke 22. I said my pages bent wrong. Okay. This is right after Jesus told Peter that the cock will not crow three times before, or let's see, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." We all know that story. And if you don't, you can read it in Luke 22. Verse 35, "And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and bag and shoes, lacked you anything?" He provided for them. When he sent them out, he provided everything they needed. And they said, nothing. They lacked nothing. In verse 36, he said unto them, "But now," something's changing. "But now, he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his bag, and he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." Is Jesus telling us to take up arms? No. Actually, I had never thought about this until God showed me this scripture. It never occurred to me that when Peter cut the ear off of that soldier, it never even occurred to me they didn't carry weapons. Where did he get the sword to cut off the ear? Jesus said, "He that hath not a sword, let him sell his garment and buy one." So Peter looks around and says, "Here's two." And Jesus said, "It is enough." So then they went, and the soldiers were coming to apprehend Jesus. And Peter thought, because of this scripture, he raised that sword and cut that ear off. Can you imagine how shocking that would be? But in the next minute, Jesus picks up the ear and puts it back on the man, and it's fixed. That's shocking too, isn't it? I mean, we read these things like it's commonplace. When I read things, I see it happening, and it's like shocking. Okay? So, 7 years ago, I had come to Glenn's funeral, and I was driving home, and it's 5.5 hour drive. And so I was on this stretch of highway that is wide open. Now, where I live, it's little skinny roads, and there's pine trees on both sides. But where I was, it was wide open, and there was wind blowing so hard that every once in a while, it felt like my car was going to flip over. And I was asking God about this wind. What in the world? This is crazy. When I got close to the trees, The trees are not blowing with the wind like this. Some are going this way, some are going this way, some are twirling around. And I'm looking out of my windshield. I said, Lord, what in the world? This is so weird. And it's like in the spirit, I saw these huge entities, demonic entities, flying furiously back and forth in the sky. And their wake is what was causing the wind to be so crazy. And I heard the Lord say that we are entering a new time. And the warfare between the spirit of light and the spirit of darkness is intensifying. And I can tell you, I'm seeing it. He said, you're going to see things you've never seen before, and you're going to start hearing about things you've never heard about before. And we are, and let me tell you, it's time to learn how to do warfare in the spirit realm. Why is that important? Because in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Listen, when you start seeing evil to the magnitude, and I'm not a doom and gloomer, and I'm not trying to frighten you. I'm trying to encourage you spiritually that you don't have to be afraid. But we wrestle not against flesh and blood. I want you to think right now about the person that gives you the most trouble. You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. It's demonic. And you need to start learning how to bind and loose and even cast out. I tell people, don't do it to their face, whatever you do. Don't do it to their face. Go, if someone is behaving ugly, or let's say, you know, this really has been a question given to me through an email, but, you know, if you're being blasted by your husband and he's degrading and, see, sometimes he's real nice and sweet and all this, but other times he's cussing and I'm afraid. And I said, well, when that time comes, you just remove yourself from the room. Go in another room and point at him and say, I bind, and then whatever he's doing, if he's being violent, I bind that violence in the name of Jesus Christ. You spirit of violence, get out of my husband in Jesus' name. Husbands and wives have more, have an authority over one another that I don't have. You know, I don't have authority over your husband. But you have authority over your husband. In 1 Corinthians 7 it says, for the wife has not power over her own body, but the wife. Likewise, the wife has not power. I mean, the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. That's not just in the sexual. No. You know what the word power means? Power. Power. We don't misuse it. If you misuse it, you could be crossing over into the other camp, getting into witchcraft. Okay, so we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. That means we need to learn how to wrestle with the spirit realm. Okay, so now I want to talk about generational curses. And what God told me, I asked him one time, you know, people say there's no such thing. I said, Lord, what do you say to people who tell you that there's no such thing as generational curses? And he said to me, not right away, but usually I just throw my question out to God, and lo and behold, sometimes I hear the answer to it. He said, if there were no such thing as generational curses, there would be no need for anyone to be saved. Because the curse came on man in the first generation. Through Adam, that thing is still in effect. Still in effect. In Exodus chapter 20, it says about, in the Ten Commandments, verse 5, about idols. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. Now, many of us would go, oh, thank goodness, I've never hated God. But that word hate is not what we know it to mean. It has to do with loyalty. And before we were saved, we were all our own gods, or we were bound to another god. So we're all guilty of idolatry. And those iniquities, like I was talking about a while ago, if the daddy is lying, if the daddy is angry, if the daddy is an abuser, the mother, those things get passed down. Most children that grew up in homes with violence or abuse or alcoholism or all of those awful, or even absenteeism, they're there but they're not really there. You know, no nurturing and all of that. They say, I'm not going to grow up to be like that. I'm going to be this way or that way. And you know what that is? Judgment. We pass judgment on our parents. And let me tell you, Matthew chapter 7 verse 1 says, judge not, lest you be judged. With the same judgment shall you be judged. And with the same measure that you have measured out judgment to others, it's going to be measured back to you. That is a spiritual law. It's just like a physical law of gravity. If I drop something, I have never dropped something and it went up. Because the law of gravity is going to pull it down. So when you judge, let me tell you how God showed it to me. Because when I learned that, I looked back on my life and every single thing I judged, I have suffered. When my kids were little and I had total control over them, they were good little kids. But there were some teenagers down the road that the cops were out there all the time. And I thought, she just needs to discipline those kids. She just needs to this. And I had all the answers. And guess what? And then there were girls who got pregnant and had babies out of wedlock. Well, I suffered that one too. In my family. So if that has been something you've done in the past, ask God to forgive you for that right now. Because it's just like writing a purchase order. If you want to judge somebody, spiritual law is, it's coming to your house. It's got your address. So repent. And speaking of repenting, right now, I want you to think about anybody in your life that you have not forgiven. If you are at war with somebody that you need to forgive, separate them from whatever it is that's caused you to have a breach with them. Separate that demon from them and forgive the person. Forgive them. Even if it's yourself, if you have not been able to forgive yourself right now. Because that is also a key that will block deliverance. The word says that if you don't forgive, God can't forgive you. That's pretty serious. So if you need to forgive someone, forgive them now. So that what you came here for, you can receive. And it won't be blocked. Okay. Everybody forgive.
Amen.
And forgive yourself. And you know what? I know that God doesn't need to be forgiven, but some of us, when things have happened and we held God responsible for it and he had nothing to do with it, forgive him. Because sometimes we hold him accountable for stuff that happens to us. Another some scriptures that I want to read is in Genesis. Because these are some curses that came into all of us in the garden. Chapter 3, Genesis. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said? Like this. Did he really say? Is that what he really said? Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. That's doubt. He calls Eve to doubt God. And that's one thing Satan wants to do with all of us. If he can make you doubt God, doubt his word. Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. There's another doubt. God said you're going to die. The devil says you're not going to die. That's what he always does. He's a liar. For God doth know in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good and evil. What's he doing right there? He's basically telling Eve that God is holding out on you. He just doesn't want you to be thus and such. And stirring up offense at God. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her. He was right there with her. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. They tried to cover their sin. We have spiritual fig leaves that we want to cover our sins with. That's deception, because God sees everything. I actually had a woman tell me one time that growing up, she was taught that God can't look upon sin. So when she was sinning, he didn't see. That's a lie. That was the words of the devil giving her that. And they heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves. There's something else we do when we sin. Instead of running to God and confessing what we did and repenting of it, you know what repent means? One of the definitions of repent is change your thinking. Change your thinking. You can't think the same way you always thought. And turn away from it. And don't do it again. It doesn't mean just tell God you're sorry every time you do it. And I'll say this, that if you have something in your life that you truly and sincerely want to walk away from and you're not able to do it, there's a demon behind it that needs to be bound and cast out. So when you come at 6 o'clock in the morning, if you have any of those things, dump it here. You know, we can really say that what happens here stays here. They say that about Las Vegas, and it's a lie. They call it Sin City. Do you know how Las Vegas was started? It was a bunch of rebels that didn't want any authority over them, law, order. So they moved as far west as they could get, away from people, away from civilization, so they could do what they wanted to do. It was kind of like a Sodom and Gomorrah. And yet they'll get on TV and say, what happens here stays here. No, it goes home with you. It and a bunch more. It, I call it, the demon, it. What is it doing to you? We're going to deal with the it factor. They hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? Where are you, Adam? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid. Isn't that what happens whenever we know we've done something wrong and somebody's about to discover it? We're afraid. We don't want that thing to be exposed. But look, this is the irony of how the devil works. Come on. Yeah, you can do it. Nobody will know. It's good. And then you do it, and you go, shame on you. That's what he does. And do you know what? The devil has an anointing, just like God. It's not like God's anointing. But the devil has an anointing that will cause sin to be better than what's legal. That is really perverse. But it's real. I had a woman tell me one time she committed adultery. But can I tell you that was the best sex I ever had? And I said, you want to know why? And I was going, I have this, it's like Carla the flesh woman and Carla the spirit woman. Carla the spirit woman, God said, you want to know why? And we both went, yeah. I had no clue what was going to come out of my mouth. Satan has an anointing. I heard it the first time when she heard it. But it's true. He wants you to think that what God said not to do is better. And he'll blind you. But see, this is why it's good to learn about these things. So when you recognize it, I'm going to talk a little more about that on Sunday, but we need to recognize the enemy when he shows up. And a lot of us have not recognized the enemy when he showed up. Okay, so then the Lord said, God said, who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree where have I commanded thee that thou should not eat? And the man said, the woman you gave me, she made me eat it. Or maybe he said, the woman you gave me. That's what I mean about blaming God. You, that woman you gave me. Don't forget, you gave her to me. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me. Here's the blame game. You got fingers pointing everywhere but where it needs to be. That reminds me of this guy that lived out in the woods near us. And he was a self-righteous dude. And one time I was pointing at him. And I do tend to point. My husband always grabs my finger. Don't point. I would be pointing at him. He says, you see those three fingers on your hand are pointing back at you. So from that day forward, I would say, you know what? He said, you see those fingers? I said, I sure do. He liked to argue. Really, we had a good time together. He taught us a lot about living in the woods. Okay, so in this one chapter of Genesis, I call them the Genesis curses, comes doubt. Doubt's in there. We're going to deal with doubt. We have, and with doubt comes unbelief, because if she would have believed God, she wouldn't have done what she did. Adam either. Okay, then we have him contradicting God's word, which is a lie. Because God's word is the truth, and if he contradicts it, then it's a lie. That's why it's good to know God's word. So when the devil comes to you with a lie, you can recognize that it's a lie. And then there was the spirit of offense. Man, I'm telling you, that is a huge spirit. I'm telling you, that spirit of offense. I used to have that. Praise God, it got delivered. And now people say, oh, I hope I didn't offend you. I said, listen, if you want to offend me, tell me. Because it's not going to stick. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. The pride of life, doing what she wanted to do instead of what God said. That's the pride of life. Rebellion. Rebellion is in there. It came right there into all of us. There was no rebellious spirit except in Satan. You know, you people would say an angel can't do anything bad. Well, he was an angel. He was Lucifer. He was, what was his name before Lucifer? Was it Lucifer? And then it became Satan. Okay, Lucifer. He was over the music in heaven. That's why he hates people that are in the worship team.
He was the anointed cherub that covers.
The anointed cherub that covers. Yeah, he didn't lose his anointing. It just was perverted. He really plays havoc in the music in the church. A lot of jealousy in the music. A lot of competition. A lot of lust. You always hear about the choir director running off with one of the choir members or something like that. He hates the music because that was his department and he lost it. Okay, guilt came in, and shame, fear came in. That's what caused them to hide themselves. And then there was not taking responsibility for their own actions, blaming it on somebody else. All those spirits came right into mankind right there in chapter 3 of Genesis. It's a package deal. Every man or woman born after the fall was born separated from God and in need of a Savior. And He is Jesus. Okay, so now we are going to, and I want, wait a second. I want to take y'all through a prayer. I'm going to have to rely on my phone. Okay. Why don't y'all stand up? Get the blood flowing. Father, we thank you right now that you, when Jesus hung on the cross, he became the curse. And his shed and resurrected blood has broken the curse. And we want to appropriate that breaking of the curse today. If you've never done this before, and if you've done it before, do it again. So just repeat after me, please. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ,
in the name of Jesus Christ,
I bind and break the power,
of the generationally inherited curses
that came down
upon me
and my children
through my Father's bloodline.
I forgive the generations before me.
And right now,
those generational curses that came down my Father's bloodline,
I break them right now. All his infirmities.
Now I want you to think about the sicknesses that your daddy has or your granddaddy had. This is on your daddy's side.
All those infirmities.
Now you name them to yourself and command them to get out. All infirmities go that came from my daddy's bloodline. Get out in Jesus' name. All his addictions, addictions or bondages to drugs, alcohol, nicotine, food, gambling, pornography, lust. You know what was in your daddy. Anger, whatever your daddy had, that's what we're talking about right now. And we command them to get out of us now in Jesus' name. And all the spirits that came in through experiences with your daddy, whatever they were, in Jesus' name.
In the name of Jesus.
I break your power off my life and the lives of my children.
All his weaknesses.
Lying, cheating, stealing, whatever his thing was. We break your power and command the spirits that came with those things to get out of me now and my children in the name of Jesus. I command out of me
I command our feet.
Every evil spirit that came into me
from my father
when I was conceived.
Go in Jesus' name.
And now I give leave
to those familiar spirits
that have followed me
and my children
down my father's bloodline
that would lead and guide me and my children
in ways that are contrary
to the plans and purposes
that you have for our lives.
Be gone.
Amen.
Father,
in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind and break the power of the generationally inherited curses that came down upon me and my children through my mother's bloodline.
All her infirmities,
all her weaknesses,
all her bondages,
all her bad habits,
in the name of Jesus,
I break your power off my life.
Get out.
I break your power and command you to get out of me and my children.
I break your power and command you to get out of me and my children.
I command out of me
every evil spirit
that came into me
and my children
from my mother
when I was conceived.
Go in the name of Jesus. And now I give leave
to the familiar spirits
that have followed me and my children
down my mother's bloodline
that would lead me and guide me
and my children
in ways that are contrary
to the plans and purposes
that you have for our lives.
Amen.
Okay, Father,
in the
name of Jesus,
I bind and break the power
of oath,
covenant
that I made,
dedication,
rituals
that were done
or made on my behalf
when I was in the loins of my forefathers.
Even in my mother's womb.
Or after I was born.
I renounce them.
And break the curses.
That came upon me.
As a result.
I command every evil spirit
that came into me
at that time
to get out of me now
in the name of Jesus. Okay, you can sit down. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind and break the power of ancestor worship. All ancestor worship, I break your power. Idolatry, I bind you and break your power and command you to go. Spirits of Antichrist, I bind you and break your power and command you to go now. Anything that is against Jesus, God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost is an Antichrist spirit. And I bind those Antichrist spirits right now in Jesus' name. Religious spirits, I break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. All lying spirits, go in Jesus' name. Lying spirits, deception, error, I break your power. Go in the name of Jesus. I break the curse of the bastard. That's the spirit that tells you God doesn't love you, makes you not love yourself. I break that curse of the bastard in Jesus' name right now. And I loose upon you the spirit of adoption.
Amen.
The spirit of adoption. I come against all doubt and unbelief. I break your power and command you to get out in Jesus' name. All rebellion, spirits of rebellion, pride, I'll do what I want to do in Jesus' name. I break the curse of death that came. See, when they ate from the tree, he said, you shall surely die. Death came in the garden. Death is a strong man. Death is the ruler spirit over all infirmities. That's the ultimate goal of infirmity for Satan, is to kill you. That's what he wants. So I break that curse of death right now in Jesus' name. I bind and break the spirit of offense. Wearing your feelings right here, getting upset over everything that's said to you, being offended at God in Jesus' name, being offended at one another in the name of Jesus. I bind the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Get out. I bind you and break your power and command you to go in the name of Jesus. Now I speak to the spirit of fear. Fear. Right now, in the name of Jesus, I bind you and break your power. All spirits that run with fear, anxiety attacks, it can cause digestive problems, nightmares. All fear spirits go in the name of Jesus. Fear of life, fear of death, fear of heights, fear of water, fear of bugs, fear of needles, fear of dying, fear of Alzheimer's, fear of cancer. So many fears. I bind the spirit of fear, the strong man of fear that's over every one of those spirits. You know what yours is. Call it out. Go in the name of Jesus. All fear spirits. Guilt and shame. Go in the name of Jesus. Guilt and shame. Go in Jesus' name. That spirit that wants to hide so it's not exposed and discovered. Go in the name of Jesus. Spirits of self-hatred. If you have an autoimmune disease, it could very well be from a spirit of hatred, self-hatred. Not loving yourself, not accepting yourself, rejection, self-rejection. Go in the name of Jesus. Blame shifting, not taking responsibility for your actions. I break that and command it to go in Jesus' name. And I break false responsibility. Some people take responsibility that doesn't even belong to them. I break that false responsibility off of you in Jesus' name. Wearing someone else's yoke on your shoulders. Jesus wants us to be yoked to Him. His yoke is light and easy. I break all those yokes of false responsibility. I break the curse of the woman. If we had read further, there was a curse pronounced on the woman. Multiplied sorrow in childbirth. That curse of the woman, it encompasses every single infirmity that belongs to women. Cancers of the breast, the uterus, the cervix, the ovaries, fallopian tubes, bladder problems, cysts and tumors, vaginal disorders, STDs, sexual dysfunction, hormonal imbalances, infertility and frigidity. I bind and break the power of these infirmities in Jesus' name. I speak to the spirit of infirmity. When the woman that was bent over came, it said a woman came who had a spirit of infirmity. I bind and break the power of the spirit of infirmity off of your life right now in Jesus' name. I command infirmities to get out right now. Get out. In the name of Jesus. Jesus shed His blood for the healing of every disease known to man. He suffered it before you would ever have it. Appropriate the shed and resurrected blood of Jesus to your body. I speak healing to your organs. I speak healing to your bones. I speak healing to your blood. I speak healing to your mind. Your skin. Your digestive system. I speak healing to your digestive system in Jesus' name. All infirmities go. And I say be healed in the name of Jesus. When Jesus sent the disciples out, he gave them power to cure diseases. Not just pray for them, not just you put them in the middle of a circle in a chair and pray for them. He said, heal the sick. Heal the sick. He said we would do that. Hey, start giving it a shot. That's what I say. I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, I've learned a lot just by giving it a shot. I'm going to try it and see. He's a miracle worker. He wants to heal you. Receive it in Jesus' name. All infirmity, get out. Get out. Go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, we thank you. Don't be bothered by this. Hey, this is good news. All infirmities, get out. All those fear spirits, go in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. I come against all witchcraft spirits, generational witchcraft, and all witchcraft spirits. Go now in Jesus' name. We bind you and break your power. I break the spirit of the witch right now. I break your power, and I command you to go. Come out of their eyes. Come out of their hands. Come off of their skull. In the name of Jesus, all witchcraft spirits. All superstition, fear, and superstition, go in Jesus' name. Go. Come out. I bind the strong man. All controlling spirits, wanting to control. That's witchcraft, wanting to control people. Manipulation, that's witchcraft. If you're a manipulator, I bind that spirit of manipulation and break its power and command it to come out in Jesus' name. Plotting. Making a plan. Lying in wait. Spirits of seduction. All spirits of seduction, go in Jesus' name. We break your power. You seducing spirits. I break your power. Come out in Jesus' name. Spirits of competition. Spirits of competing and competition. Jealousy. Go in the name of Jesus. Sleep disorder. Insomnia. Nightmare. I bind the spirit of murder. Rage. I bind the abortion spirit in the name of Jesus. All spirits of murder, go in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. I bind all blocking spirit and hindering spirit. Move in the name of Jesus. I speak to the gatekeeper. Move in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for your delivering power, for your healing power. Father, I ask right now that you would loose a fresh anointing of your love upon every person in this room. A fresh anointing of your love, of your grace, of your mercy, in Jesus' name. We apply to each one the grace that is sufficient. You said, Lord Jesus, my grace is sufficient. We thank you for your grace. We thank you that when you hung on the cross, you said, it is finished. I don't know what Satan's been doing in your life, but it is finished.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
And it is time, as he told Moses, when Moses was crying out. You know, Moses had a problem. He had his back to the Red Sea. And they were all standing there looking to Moses, and they had nowhere to go because Pharaoh's army was coming. He had a problem. And he was crying out to God. You know what God said to him? Why are you crying out to me? This is in Exodus chapter 13 or 14. Why are you crying out to me? But raise up thy rod. You have a rod of authority, and it is the name of Jesus, the shed blood of Jesus. He has given it to us. He has given us permission to use it. I think sometimes we're crying out to God, and God, we're waiting on God, and God's waiting on us.
Yeah.
I gave you authority. I gave you power. Begin to use it. And don't be afraid to use it. It has nothing to do with you. It's the name of Jesus Christ. The name of Jesus. You may hold the key for your family to be delivered. In fact, I believe that you are. You can bring deliverance to your family. And you don't have to say, okay, hey, I'm going to pass the demon out of you. It's as simple as saying, can I pray for you? They don't have to know what you're doing. Sometimes, though, I do say to the person, okay, I don't want you to listen to me because I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to a spirit that is dealing you havoc. And then I go after the spirit. So, Father, we thank you. We thank you for bringing each person here. We thank you for the kickoff, for slaying the dragon, cutting off the head so that the rest of it can be dealt with in all the rest of the meetings. And that they, and I speak to every spirit that's been stirred up right now that didn't come out. And I bind you, like putting you in a cage and locking the key, that you cannot torment them. Lord, as they go to their beds, I ask you to cover them with your blood. I ask you to surround them with mighty angels to protect them, to watch over them as they sleep. And I speak a sweet sleep right now to each person. I bind every spirit that would come to torment you in your sleep. I bind them, and I forbid them to operate tonight. The angels to stand over you. If anything comes near, wacko, the angels will take charge of them so that you can have a restful night's sleep, so that you can be here at 6 in the morning. And we'll deal with some more. Gee, and it's only Friday night. Hallelujah. So you're dismissed. Don't forget, 6 o'clock in the morning. And have a good night's sleep. Don't forget the curfew is 10:30. And if you talk after the lights are out, talk softly. The walls are thin. Okay? God bless you. Good night.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.